DW.
1.5 disasters a day. The report states that's down to a, quote, broken perception of risk based on optimism, underestimation, and invincibility. Are we too optimistic for our own good?
Yes, we are a bit too optimistic, and this has to do with the fact that we are doing some decisions which are risk blind. And by doing so, we are generating potentially new risks, and we are not managing properly the already existing risk. And this has to do with everyday decisions that we always make that are related to the way in which we invest, the way in which we live, and the way in which we build. And this is determinant in whether we are going to face more or less risk in the future. Disasters are actually affecting more the countries that are poorer and more vulnerable. And this, of course, brings them into a spiral of self-destruction, if you want. Based on the current trends, we see that the direct economic impact of disasters is reaching $170 billion per year, which is quite an increase from the past 2 decades. And this continues to grow. This is just a fraction of the total.
Can you specify what kind of disasters and what kind of scope we're talking about?
Now, this means disasters that cause a number of people killed, a number of people displaced, and a certain percentage of people affected, which are, let's say, above a threshold of what we call a medium scale or large scale disaster.
Could you give an example for a medium or large scale disaster?
For example, if you have more than 1,000 houses destroyed and 100 people killed and thousands of people displaced, then you are talking about a middle scale type of disasters. And of course, you have the larger ones, and I can use perhaps the pandemic as the most extreme one recently, but you have millions of people killed, you have billions of people affected, and you have also huge economic losses.
Now, if we have the strategies, what's holding us back to act?
Well, the lack of investments. And I would like to also highlight the fact that the report clearly shows that investments in disaster risk reduction are absolutely not enough. And we need to work much more in raising the level of awareness of decision makers and central banks and the financial sector in general to make sure that there are financial flows that can support national efforts to reduce disaster risk. It's only a fraction of overseas development assistance that is dedicated to disaster risk reduction. Even if you look at the overseas development assistance for disaster-related aid, only $5 for every $100 are being invested in disaster risk reduction. And if you look at ODA for development in general, this becomes a very negligible fraction of the total amount.
Let's talk about some concrete examples here. We're still in a pandemic, and I think it's fair to say we were utterly unprepared for COVID. How can we reduce the risk of the next pandemic hitting us so hard?
In the case of the pandemic, we knew that one day or another, a pandemic was coming our way, and there had been already many precursors that had raised the alarm. This was anticipated, and it could have been much better prepared to avoid the enormous losses that we have suffered and that have been inflicted on population around the globe. And this has to do precisely with better preparedness, so a more preventive approach towards the decisions that are made to being able to withstand the shock of such a pandemic situation. It has to do also with early warning systems, because the way in which the international health community works, there were some problems that were not approached in the right way. And of course, if people have an early warning and can act immediately, then the increase of a virus impact doesn't necessarily need to reach a pandemic proportion.
There's also, and keep in mind that our audience does not have this in front of them, there's a very detailed breakdown of the complexity of disasters. I recall a chart in the report that looked at the complexity of food security in Somalia. Can you walk us through that? How can famine be averted?
We use the concept that risk cannot be looked at in silos. It never happens in a vacuum. The breadbasket failure example is a very good example of how to communicate about this. The pandemic is another one. If you start with some signs of drought and you are able to anticipate this through good early warning and risk analysis, then you are better off than if you are not, because then this situation can degenerate into many other, you know, cascading impacts that will have social and economic consequences. Actually, the current war in Ukraine is another typical example of how crises are systemic. A crisis is having already an impact on fuel prices and also food prices, and is generating a series of additional impacts that also can indeed be anticipated.
DW.